Danny Morrison is with us today, as is Seamus Close, as is Malachy O'Doherty. Malachy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Danny.
What's up, boy?
Malachy, is Mike Nesbitt asking for the impossible, asking Sinn Féin to ditch their whole narrative and to say, we got it wrong, the IRA exists?
Well, certainly, they're certainly putting them in a very difficult position, put it that way. I do think Sinn Féin has moved quite radically in some ways. I mean, if you compare the way in which the party reacted when Gerry Adams was arrested, and we had that outpouring of anger from Bobby Storey included, and Martin McGuinness about dark forces inside policing, the securocrats, you know, the whole narrative then was to say that there are secret forces within inside the police who are trying to disrupt the peace process, who are working alongside Irish parties to help, you know, campaign against, help damage Sinn Féin within elections. We're not hearing any of that now. We're hearing, Gerry Adams, for instance, saying that they support the police in the investigation, certainly saying we'd be absolutely shocked if it came out that Bobby Storey was charged or anything like that. But they are saying the kind of things that you would expect a minister in that position to do. Now, I suppose if, for instance, we were looking at an analogy with, say, the Liberal Democrats or Labour in Britain, and a very senior party official was being investigated for murder, then I think you would, probably that party would look for the suspension of that that member, that official, would remove him, would in some measure, you know, detoxify the brand as far as possible.
Danny?
Well, I expect these three Republicans to be released without charge, but it's not going to change the unionist mindset, which hasn't gone away. And I'm talking about in historical terms, where the resentment, almost the resentment against Sharon Parr with nationalists, with resisting that, with trying to reorganise the scaffolding of the Good Friday Agreement, that's what's really behind this. I also think, for example, you said correctly that Mike Nesbitt was having a pop at Peter Robinson, and, you know, to paraphrase Bill Clinton, it's the election, stupid. And I also think that Mike Nesbitt was quite discomforted on your programme. I think that he now realises that he's bitten off more than he can chew. He's now reduced to the stage that all Gerry Adams...
You don't think he's got a spring in his step?
No. He thinks he has. But
you don't think he's got the DUP on the run?
That's an act. That is an act. Yes, he's got the DUP, but he doesn't know where this is going. He doesn't know how this is going to pan out. And all he wants now is for Gerry Adams to come out like a circus dog in a little box and say, make the IRA exists, and then we can go back into talks again. This is how ridiculous this is. And
how likely is that Gerry Adams is going to do that?
Not going to happen, because it's not true. I live in West Belfast. I'd like people to tell me when they've met, where they're meeting, what they're discussing. None of that has happened. You've got the DUP...
So rogue elements of the IRA just decided to get together one day and, according to the Chief Constable, be associated with murder in the Belfast streets, and there's no discipline within the IRA whatsoever.
That's your narrative. My narrative is completely different. My understanding is completely different. As someone who's been charged with IRA membership twice and been in jail four times, I see absolutely no evidence whatsoever of an IRA in the background working, conspiring, colluding, training, whatever.
The evidence is the Chief Constable's assessment.
But what was his assessment? His assessment came in two parts. His assessment came that they exist for a benign reason. His assessment was that, in his opinion, people who were members of the IRA or are current members of the IRA, if you take his word that it exists, that they were involved without any... He says we have absolutely no indication of central clearance for this or leadership sanction for it. So I don't accept, for example, his premise. But if you accept his premise, he's also saying that the IRA is dedicated to peace, has told all of its volunteers to go into political activity, and they did that 10 years ago.
Seamus Close?
Well, I mean, I just listen to people on the ground. I just form my own conclusions and opinions over the years. And I have to say that Danny's coming from a particular perspective with which I would totally disagree. And there's a fair amount of evidence, not only coming from the police, and I agree with them, that at times it appeared that the police were following two different stories. There were drip-feeding the general public with what the general public was suspecting was that was going on, and that for years blind eyes have been turned, as I've said before, to crimes that have been committed within Northern Ireland. There are quite a number of murders for which nobody has been held. There have been robberies. There have been various other things, fuel laundering, all this type of stuff is going on. Nobody is held accountable. Now, perhaps, just perhaps, the blind eyes may be coming a little bit more focused. We have a situation which, if it happened in any other part of these islands, in fact, I would say within Europe, where the chair of a political party was arrested in conjunction with a murder, that there wouldn't be what I referred to before as political dynamite affecting that particular party. But here, we're so wrapped up in being a fear, being frightened to annoy somebody, to annoy a political party, that no action appears to be taken, and we dance around it.
Well, who do you think is more in touch with unionist opinion? Mike Nesbitt, who wants suspension, or Peter Robinson, who wants adjournment?
Well, for I think it's coming up in a year, maybe more than a year, I've been calling for suspension. I was calling for suspension before the current crisis. We have an assembly, we have an executive where there is no trust, where there is no confidence, where the parties are just getting on, not really getting on. But the outshot of that is that in Northern Ireland we don't have a budget, we've got problems in welfare, we don't have a minister in regional development, we have the whole question about NAMA, we have the health service, we have the road service, we have every single department is in chaos because of the lack of trust, the lack of operation between members of the executive and within an assembly that, in their own words, is dysfunctional and not fit for purpose. To suspend the assembly, sine die, would enable time to be taken to sort out the real problems, the architecture of the current assembly and its structures, and get it right, rather than dancing around, putting sticking plaster on year in, year out, which ain't working.
Here's Patrick.
Would that not lead us back to, and perhaps this is what we do need, a completely new agreement? I mean, I would imagine that within unionism, people, you know, if this falls now, people are going to say, well, look, there's Faulkner, Trimble and Robinson, three unionist leaders who tried power sharing and whose backs were broken on that rack, and therefore, you know, to find a unionist leader who would come back into a power sharing deal after this might be very difficult indeed.
But you see, leading up to the Good Friday Agreement, Malachy, as you well recall, we were dealing with a particular set of circumstances where the people admitted that there was an IRA, where people admitted that there was a UDA, UVF, etc. There now is ambiguity with regard to that. So let's get a structure where you have not a mandatory coalition, but voluntary coalition.
Let's set
the bar at a level which does not automatically exclude anyone. Let's do away with designations. Let's do away with petitions of concern and the things that make the current structures impractical and unworkable. And you will have the support of the people in Northern Ireland for that.
So here's a very awkward question, Malachy O'Doherty. Kevin McGuigan lost his life. And obviously he has a family now hurting very, very badly indeed.
And also under threat, apparently, as well.
Yeah. How many members of the public, though, because Kevin McGuigan was a former member of the IRA, don't really care if they are killing each other and do differentiate between people, bombs in city centres, all of the stuff we used to see in the past where people who had never been associated with paramilitaries were losing their lives. And so therefore, my question is there a certain public indifference to paramilitaries killing each other?
The blind eye strategy actually goes back to 1972 and the 2-week ceasefire in July of that year, because in that 2 weeks there were more people killed than in the previous 2 weeks when the IRA campaign and the Loyalist campaigns were in full throttle. But there were no bombings in the city, there were no attacks on the police and army, but there were sectarian killings and there was mayhem. So there's always been a kind of a sense, and that example has been set from within government itself, you know, that certain things are okay, you know, or at least not okay, but can be overlooked. And Seamus really nailed the problem, in a sense, when he talked about the ambiguity. And the question is whether you can sustain the ambiguity a wee bit longer and hold this together with all kinds of pretenses that there is and isn't an IRA. You know, it's Schrodinger's cat. You know, as long as it doesn't shoot anybody, then it doesn't exist, or it doesn't matter whether it does exist or not. The trouble now is that it has shot somebody, and that it may shoot somebody again. I don't see that there's the prospect of a unionist leader ignoring that, but I do think there's a difference between the way in which Nesbitt and Robinson have handled this. Nesbitt has, whatever Danny thinks, Nesbitt has outflanked Robinson and put him in a very, very difficult position.
He's outflanked himself, Mulligan.
Sorry?
He has outflanked himself. But
He may, in a sense, but, I mean, he's in a more comfortable position now because, I mean, I was talking to somebody about it last. There's more money in that party now because of the MPs, for instance.
Yeah, but he's more comfortable manoeuvring. He doesn't sound too comfortable on Stephen Nolan this morning.
No. Stephen eats him, you know,
But the reality is
that he has put Robinson in a difficult position. Robinson is being criticised by Alistair and others for manoeuvring this to try and make it work.
Are the DUP not in a very awkward position here insofar as they say that the problem is Sinn Féin in the executive, and yet they want to adjourn the assembly and the executive would still exist?
I think the DUP wants instead of suspension.
Exactly.
They want the thing to work.
So the DUP want Sinn Féin ministers to stay in the executive while saying that they want Sinn Féin kicked out of the executive.
Because if you think for a minute even to what Nigel Dodd said yesterday, that they were now beyond the tipping point. Now, if you're beyond the tipping point, you don't go into a simple adjournment where you continue on as ministers in a dysfunctional executive, where you continue to draw your salaries, and where you do all the things that do amount to a form of business as usual, even though one of those ministers isn't in the executive, has already resigned.
Look, there's another element of this people are forgetting.
Let me just remind people, for example, what Nigel Dodd said on this programme 2 weeks ago.
Well, we are already set out our position that we have met the Chief Constable, we'll be having further meeting with the Chief Constable, we're meeting the Secretary of State tomorrow, and we have asked for an urgent meeting with the Prime Minister. And we're putting it up very clearly to them and to other parties that Sinn Féin are clearly in breach of their commitment to peaceful, exclusively peaceful and democratic means. They should be the ones that are punished. They're the ones that should be excluded. And that's where the action should be taken. That's the people who should be punished. Those are the people who should be out of the executive. If they fail to do that, then we're in a different situation, and we will take whatever action is necessary at that stage to ensure that the integrity of government in Northern Ireland is preserved and maintained.
So you heard it there. Those are the people who should be out of the executive. That's not what they're now asking for.
He was asking for the impossible there, Steve.
Arlene Foster, then. This week in this programme, Arlene Foster said this.
Well, we believe that Sinn Féin should be excluded. We believe there's enough evidence there to exclude Sinn Féin. However, we recognise that the exclusion mechanism that is in currently the legislation will not work because it needs cross-community support, and the SDLP and Sinn Féin are not going to support that. I have no idea why the SDLP wouldn't support it, but that's a matter for them. Therefore, the next way to deal with the issue is for the government to exclude. They've made it clear that they don't have enough evidence to exclude in this case, so we need to find other ways to deal with the issue, and we're in a solution-finding mode.
So in other words, Malachy O'Doherty, they want them kicked out of the executive, but because they can't kick them out of the executive, they want to go into talks with them to save the executive.
Well, Arlene finished off by saying we are in a solution-finding mode. I mean, I do think, you know, the DUP had the option, humiliating, I suppose, to have Mike Nesbitt lead the way, but they had the option of pulling this down. They've obviously decided to try some measure of saving the thing. And I mean, for the most cynical reasons, perhaps, because of the huge amount of money they would lose, but I would trust that Peter Robinson and Arlene Foster and the others would. Their ideal scenario is that some solution is found to this and that we have power sharing restored.
Danny.
So that's what they're after.
Danny, do you see any solution to this?
Well, just before I answer that question, I want to go back to, I mean, there were two people killed. Gerard Davison was also killed. And the perception within the Nationalist Republican community is a lot more energy and research and investigating powers, finance and time has been put into researching one death, which from a unionist perspective is more political capital as far as they're concerned, than another death. And that is the perception.
Is that political policing argument, Danny? Is that the rest? Is that
Obviously the police would totally deny it.
I am loath to go down that road, but what supports that argument is the fact that a few days ago, Peter Robinson cockily said in the media, in the subtext, there's more arrests to come, I know about it. And then when the three men were arrested yesterday, he said, didn't I say so?
How did he know, by the way?
Well, that's my question, because that is, if someone in the police hierarchy, and I think the chief constable has to reply to this, if someone in the and whoever was involved and whoever had planning knowledge about those arrests, and they weren't done on the cuff, there was obviously some planning went into them, Peter Robinson somehow over a cup of coffee or with a friend or someone in the...
Or it could have been just rumour he was picking up.
Well, that's not the way, and you know that. That's not the way he said it.
Yeah,
you know,
To be fair to you, Danny, it would be rare for a first minister to put rumour into a statement, and he put it. He wrote it down that there was information not yet widely known to the public.
He subsequently referenced it.
He did. So how did he know who told him?
I believe that the arrest. The very highest level of government. Because of the current situation and where we're at. And therefore that information may well have been available to other people who may have passed it on to Mr. Robinson.
Well, we need to ask, don't we?
We need to get answers to those questions, exactly.